Well, good morning, and welcome to Worship Online this Easter Sunday, April the 9th. We are very glad that you are with us. We wish you could be here in person, but this is the next best thing, and we pray that we can all worship our risen Lord together. As a Christian organization committed to the Ministry of Reconciliation, we acknowledge the harms committed to the Indigenous people of this land by those of us who have settled here. We also acknowledge that the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta, on which we stand, is the ancestral traditional land of the Indigenous people, and we are grateful for their stewardship of the land and their hospitality, which allows us to live, work, and serve God, the Creator, here together. We also reaffirm our pledge that to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. And together, we hope that we can all find the true love of God in authentic community. It's Easter! Yay! One of the most incredible days that we celebrate every year. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. God has claimed us as his own. He has brought us out of the darkness. He has made us light to the world. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray. And so, O God, it is with great joy that we come. We come knowing that Jesus is alive and well, that he is our Redeemer and our Savior, and we are so blessed to be able to live with you eternally because of the Jesus sacrifice for each one of us. May we truly experience the joy of being an Easter people. Thank you. Thank you. Alleluia. Amen. So our scripture this morning is a long one, and so we're going to divide it into two parts, and you might want to keep one your Bible open for when we read the second part. But it is found in John chapter 20, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Updated Edition. John 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their homes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I would like you to, in unison together, affirm our faith in a wonderful affirmation of faith, in unison together. We believe in Jesus who healed and the Jesus who was arrested. We believe in the Jesus who was abused and the Jesus who abused not in return. We believe in the Jesus who was called a traitor and the Jesus who was a peacemaker. We believe in the Jesus who was falsely accused and the Jesus who turned those accusations back on his accusers. We believe in the Jesus who was crucified and the Jesus who forgave his crucifiers as they watched the breath of life leave him. We believe that Jesus was buried on Friday, is the Christ who arose on Sunday, and because we believe this, we affirm Jesus to be the Christ, Son of the living God, Savior, Liberator, long-awaited Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords. We gladly proclaim the day of Christ's resurrection to be the Easter for all generations. Glory to God, our Savior lives. Amen. I want to thank you again for all of your generosity for in our Easter offerings this year that are going to the Canadian Food Grains Bank via Canadian Baptist Ministries to help in the GROW project in Strathclair, Manitoba. We are so thrilled to be a part of being able to provide for food security around the world through our great partners of CDM and CFGB. Thank you for your offerings. Thank you also for your continued faithfulness, tithes, and offerings that you give to our church so that we can continue to be God's hands and feet around our neighborhood and in our city and throughout the world. Thank you for that as well. Let us spend a few minutes in prayer. O Holy God, beyond our imagining and yet near to us as flesh to fingernails, we come before you this Easter day in gratitude. We confess, O God, that we like to think of Easter as a sunny and warm day full of light and sweetness, redolent that is fragrant in springtime. Yet no matter what the weather outside, on this day your world remains in so many corners a dark and stormy place, sunk deep into cold winter of sin and evil. Those who first witnessed your son's resurrection found it to be a fearful and fearsome event. For you, O great God of surprises, crashed into our reality with something new and unexpected. But on this morning, we do not want to forget the darkness of last Friday afternoon and the way by which the Easter victory, about which we're so happily singing this day, came about. We cannot forget the sacrifice, the bloody death, the God-forsaken pain of it all, this clash between your kingdom and this world that was so fierce. Today we do praise you for all the might, power, and creativity by which you won the victory, Father. We praise you for raising from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd now of all of us, sheep who follow him. But because we cannot and must not forget all the darkness of sin that even it still is around us, we make petitions this morning for all people anywhere and everywhere who continue to feel crucified by a cruel world and yet do not perceive any Easter. We pray for refugees, for tortured prisoners, for the innocent victims of war. We pray for abused children and battered women, for stricken families from whom a loved one has disappeared without a trace. We pray for the homeless, poor, and those victimized and diminished by racism, discrimination, and oppression of all kinds. We pray for all those who can see no Easter light because all that is good and lovely has been eclipsed by a depression that will not live, or by chronic pain that will not abate, by a stretch of unemployment with no end in sight, or by a job that is slaying the spirit day by day because the work seems so meaningless. O Lord, the things that led Jesus to the cross have not yet disappeared from the face of this earth. The need for resurrection remains stubbornly present in the lives of millions. Make us, O Spirit of the living God, life-giving spirits to minister to those in need this Easter Sunday and always. Right here in this congregation, there are also needs aplenty. So we make petition for the widows or widowers and families who mark this Easter for the first time without a beloved one who died since we last observed this holy day. Be with anyone who feels that he or she needs to believe in the resurrection more than ever, but is finding it more and more difficult because the absence of a dear person is too real to deny, too total to grasp. We pray for those who are sick this day or who are worried about a loved one who is very ill. And be with each of us gathered for this service. Thank you for friends and family who are our guests this morning, and grant them a special blessing by your Spirit. We bless you, Father God, for gracing us with the musicians who spend their talents thoughtfully and well in this place, so that all of us may be edified and through the mystery of music be drawn closer to you. But above all, we thank you for the presence of the Spirit of the living God, Christ Jesus, as we encounter nothing short of your very self here this morning. May we know for sure that we have indeed been in your sacred presence. And may this encounter in turn embolden us to live an Easter life not only now, but also in the days to come and forevermore. Help us to take what we experience and learn here and allow it to set a holy tone for us always and everywhere. And we pray all of this in the name of our risen, conquering, Redeemer and King, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our second scripture continues in John chapter 20, starting at verse 11. John is the fourth of the Gospels, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But you'll find it probably about two-thirds of the way through your Bible. John chapter 20, starting at verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he had said these things to her. In verse 30, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia! The journey to the cross is finished. But for us, the journey because of the cross is just beginning. We have sojourned along the journey. Hopefully, God has taught you much along the way this Lent. How do we assimilate what he has been teaching us in our Lenten journey? How do we assimilate that going forward? How has he made familiar scriptures new again this year? How has a familiar path come alive in new ways? How has he made you and us come alive in new ways? I really love the fact that Scripture is alive and speaks to us in new ways at different stages of our life. I also love the fact that we have four distinct Gospels, each with a different viewpoint, because each of the writers had unique personalities and outlooks. Matthew, the Jew, through and through, making sure that the Jewishness of Jesus is very clear. Mark, the Greek, direct, succinct, and to the point, as many Greeks were and are. Luke, the doctor and the historian, making sure that everything is accurate. And then John, the philosopher and the beloved one, as he even refers to himself. The differences in their writings enrich our understanding so much. So too does the various translations that we read. Now, I'm not going to read all four different passages dealing with the resurrection narrative to you today, and nor am I going to read different translations, but I would like to encourage you to do so today and tomorrow and this week. Maybe read the John 20 in a different translation every day, or the gospel of the resurrection in a different gospel every day. It's quite fascinating. And throughout Lent, we have been journeying to the cross with Jesus, just as the disciples did. We have stopped and sojourned along the way, considering some of the difficulties we encounter on physical journeys, hiking, road trips, and how these can also pertain to our spiritual journeys. We've contemplated ways in which God meets us in these places in special ways. As we prepare for the journey, as we get lost, as we encounter roadblocks and road signs and the unexpected, as we find sore spots, etc. Every step, every stop along the way, God is with us in the journey and has things that He wants to teach us. And quite often it's when we stop that we realize how much He does want to teach us. The disciples journeyed with Jesus all over the entire country of Judea and Galilee, north to south, east to west, from Tyre and Caesarea Philippi, way up north of the Sea of Galilee, down to Jerusalem and Emmaus, from north of the Sea of Galilee, down to the top of the Dead Sea. They traveled by foot. They were nomads. Jesus said sometimes, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And all along the way, they encountered so much. They got to live with Jesus intimately. So let's put ourselves in their shoes for just a little bit and imagine some of what they were going through. You see, 3 years ago, they were called by Jesus to follow him, and they did. They gave up their day jobs or their careers, and they followed him. They had walked many, many kilometers all over this country. They encountered a lot of different circumstances: fair weather, bad weather, storms, and calm after the one who calmed the storms made it calm. People who loved this healer, people who hated him. Times of laughter, times of tears. They learned to pray. They had learned who Jesus really was, etc., we just read in Scripture, they still didn't get it all. They hadn't put it all together. This life of following Jesus was full-time, hard work. Much of their journey we have recorded in these Gospels, and yet there's much missing that we don't know either. But the disciples, they had observed Jesus as he healed people, as he confronted demons and sin, as he loved the children and the elderly, as he wept for the ones who mourned, like Mary and Martha, and then raised their brother, his good friend Lazarus, from the dead. These disciples were part of the triumphal entry that we celebrated on last Palm Sunday, and they were probably so excited about Jesus becoming the King of Judah, just like we had talked about a bit last week. And the Passover feast that they celebrated on Thursday was probably a very boisterous one. Finally, they may have thought, finally, all the wandering is over, and now all of this is going to come to fruition. And so it was probably extra exciting. And then, Jesus betrayed Jesus, and Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And others had just kind of vanished into thin air. And the Pharisees planned everything so well that as all of Judea was celebrating Passover in their homes, they were making sure that Jesus was condemned to die, that he was whipped and beaten and completely humiliated. And Jesus was crucified. And he actually died. And oh no. Now what? Their world had just fallen apart. Everything they thought they knew was gone. They had sacrificed their whole lives for 3 years, and all of a sudden it's gone. Every dream, every hope, every wish. Now what? Their world had just dissolved before their eyes. Some of you have experienced that kind of devastation, that kind of trauma. It's like a bad dream and a nightmare that you just don't wake up from, and it goes on and on. I mean, we thought the shock of COVID was bad. It was. But this was so, so much worse. And I'm sure the disciples had absolutely no idea what to do, because as we read in that scripture, they still didn't understand what was happening. Friday noon he died, and had to be buried quickly, because here came Saturday, a Sabbath day, where nothing happens, no work, no chores, no cooking, no walking, and it had to be done before sundown on Friday. And that Saturday Sabbath must have been really, really hard. They were probably all still together, crying on each other's shoulders, stunned and really unsure, wondering, now what? No Judas. A probably very, very remorseful Peter. Now what? What had all of this been about? And what were they going to do now? Shock, pain, bewilderment. Now what? But wait, then came Sunday. The Sabbath is over, so the women go out to the tomb. Matthew mentions two of the women went, the two Marys. Mark says three went. Luke doesn't say how many went. John only mentions one. Mark and Luke mention that the women were taking spices with which to anoint Jesus' body. But Matthew and John don't. It probably makes sense that that is what they were doing, in that embalming wasn't practiced back then, and the spices were to aid in making the decay of the corpse less odorous, etc. But those are all semantics. But they're also just a really brief lesson on the differences we find in the Gospels and throughout our scripture. So it's the women. The women go to the tomb. The women find the tomb empty, and they're stunned. They're even more shocked and terrified, Luke says, when they encounter one, or maybe two, angels who actually speak to them. And they run. They run to the disciples, not just the 11 apostles, but all of the rest, again, Luke says, who it appears were together. No shock there. They'd all lived together for the last 3 years, so this hasn't changed yet. And they run and they proclaim the best news ever. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He is alive. Believe us. And two of them, Peter, remember the remorseful one, and John, the beloved one, run to the tomb. What do they find? No body, but the linens that Jesus' body was wrapped in are there. And it's not just only the linens, it's the cloth that had been on his head. And depending on the translation, it's either rolled neatly or folded neatly. And we've talked about that before, haven't we? Because that folding cloth neatly means that he, the Lord and Master, is not done. He's coming back. Just like in a meal when the Master had people at his table, if he crumpled up his napkin and dropped it on his plate, meant he was done. He left, he was gone, they could start to clean the food. But if he folded it neatly and placed it beside his plate, it meant he was coming back. He's probably just going to get more wine or something. Leave it. I'm coming back. And there it was, that piece of cloth. Leave it. I'm coming back, Jesus is saying. And then, in the Gospel of John, we find the additional section to the narrative. That's the second part of scripture that we read. We find a conversation that Mary Magdalene has with Jesus. Mary Magdalene, probably the most aligned, misunderstood person, is the first person to actually have an encounter with the risen, living Jesus Christ. Even before he has gone to heaven, he talks with Mary, and she gets to be the first person to proclaim post-crucifixion, "I have seen the Lord." Imagine a woman, a scandalous woman, gets to announce, "I have seen the Lord." You know, I really love how God uses people from all walks of life. He announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the lowest of society. Jesus called men from some of the most disrespected professions, the humblest of jobs, to be his disciples and follow him. Tax collectors and fishermen and people who were not part of respected society. He called them to follow him. And he announced forgiveness of sin to the disabled and the sick and the possessed. And now he announces his resurrection to a woman, a disreputable woman at that. There can be no question. Jesus is alive, and he is alive for the redemption of all people everywhere. We just need to believe in him and in his death and his resurrection and his forgiveness of sin. That's what we read at the end of John 20. And I am going to read it in a few different translations because I love the tapestry that's woven together. We read it in John, in the NRSV. In the Message, it says, "Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. They are written down so that you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it." In the First Nations version, "But I have told you this much so that you will believe that Creator sets free, Jesus, is the chosen one, the Son of the Great Spirit. When you put your trust in all that his name represents, the life of beauty and harmony he has promised to all will be yours." And then in the Voice, these accounts are recorded so that you too might believe that Jesus is the anointed, the liberating King, the Son of God, because believing grants you the life he came to share. No matter what translation you read this in, it is clear. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and believing in him is the way to eternal life and the life of beauty and harmony, the reason he came to earth. So that you and I and all people everywhere can believe in him and his salvation and have abundant eternal life. He promises to journey through this amazing life with us, always with us. He is our invisible guide, our Redeemer and Savior. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Hallelujah! He is alive. Hallelujah, we are an Easter people and we serve the risen King. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our hearts to sing, O God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross, for our salvation. To you be all the glory and honor that is due your name, for you alone are worthy. Amen. And now, may the risen Christ meet you on the road, lead you into all truth, guide you on the path. May the risen Christ feed and sustain you, fill you with his presence, equip you by his Spirit. May the risen Christ go with you today, journey with you through this week. May you dwell with Christ forever. Amen.